fucking way. You have jury duty tomorrow?
Well.
Didn't you already call and see if you have to go?
Well, I wrote in and said, like, look, I'm a, you know, sole employee of my business. And if I don't work, I don't make no money. And it's going to be
and
hard.
And then I don't pay no taxes.
Yeah. Which pay your salary. Yeah, that always, like, works well.
20 seconds and you're top of your lungs.
So, you know, I just wrote in and was like, you know, here's my thing. There, you know, there's a whole little questionnaire. Would you be willing to serve for a jury if time was limited to 1 or 2 days? And I was like, yep.
That's what I can do.
You know, that's what I can do because it's like, you know, I don't know. I can't, you know, be pushing off jury duty on just only the people who are too retarded to get out of jury duty.
Yeah, so, you gotta have some logic on a jury, you know, every once in a while.
Let's, you know, I'm not gonna get called anyway. And
yeah, I generally get excused in the first, second round.
You just bring in crime and punishment.
I got my 1 or 2 day letter saying, bring this letter in. The judge has said you're good for 1 or 2 days, blah, blah, blah. But you still got to call. But they make you wait until 5:30 the night before to call in and check.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that makes it a little bit hard to make plans.
Have you ever forgotten a call?
Yeah, I have.
And then you wake up the next morning and you're freaked the fuck out. And they're like, there's a bench warrant.
The police could be here any moment.
I hate that moment. And I like a call later that day, super timid, tail between my legs, explaining. They're like, oh, no, you're fine. Shit was called off anyow. Every time I still feel
it was actually the last time. It was actually the last time. And I didn't realize it until like a week later. You know, and I was like, oh, holy fuck. Wow, I better listen to that BTO record for the last time. I might not be back here for a while. I don't know. So, yeah, I got to like go home, call up. Then if I get called, go in, and I got to be there at like 8:30 with their ramshackle parking arrangements, which are really
Is this Springfield?
Jacked.
Springfield or Lane?
Lane County.
Okay.
So I got to drive all the way in. I can't even remember.
You can park at my house and walk.
Yeah.
It might be easier.
Oh, it might be.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like 10 blocks, but, you know.
I don't know. Is that cool with you? I guess you'll be gone because I'd be pulling in here at 8 to get there at 8:30.
Yeah, I'll be gone.
And you get out.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think of it is.
I'll be like, on the road in the Mercedes.
Yeah, I don't know. I always figure like.
Not yours.
Not mine.
I like to leave myself.
Not an expensive one at that, actually.
I like to leave myself open because like the thing that motivates me to get there, even though it's a very wild fantasy and very unlikely to come true, is seems like it could be a dating opportunity. Like
We've been through this.
But it isn't. It isn't.
You were the only person out there that would look like jail as a dating opportunity.
Yeah. Well, it's not
I think it's mostly that the surroundings kind of stir up
for you.
They stir up the bouillabaisse a little. You know? I think that's what it is.
That is a hell of a good. That is an optimistic look on jail. It's a dating opportunity.
Yeah,
I think he's talking about court as a dating opportunity.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. You're still locked in a room that you can't get out of.
Yeah.
You are locked in a room with a bunch of people that were too stupid not to show up.
I don't think it's the same. I mean,
what I wonder
don't
is
get
like,
me wrong. I might show up at a Casey Anthony trial just to try and get a chance to meet her. But, you know, beyond that.
like back in the day, like, you know, could you be sitting on a jury and just, like, light up a Marlboro? You know?
I think so.
I think you could.
Yeah, like, back in the day.
Yeah, sit there.
Yeah, Perry Mason days.
I think
you could back in Perry Mason days. But you can't nowadays. That would be, God, how much better would court
you
be?
You would be so out of there.
Dude.
But then again, you'd be a defendant.
Yeah, I
would, because I'd probably break some statute and some shit, and I'd end up in court a month and a half later.
Well, they'd probably hold you in contempt.
Smoking in a public arena, or I don't know.
A federal one.
Public display. I mean, like, they put warning on
Netflix. They bring back the stocks
Netflix.
For
like,
you.
They put warning, includes
they'd
smoking
bring back
in
the
TV
stocks.
Shows now.
That's where you would be. All right, so at any rate, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus, straight down our throats. Let's go.
Whoa. Wow.
You're used to it. Don't.
That was hard. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Ruined Heroes, a weekly free and self-produced podcast wherein the three of us irreverently discuss a topic of societal renown, mostly being right now. Thank you again, Aaron, for joining the club.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
So that was cool.
We did finally get your card signed because we were all three here today.
Yeah. So Then we got to figure out that postage to Australia. So
we got to figure that out.
No, we don't. You just take it to a place and say, "Get this right."
I'm going to, just like I did with the fucking computer, which is part of the reason Rupert brought the topic, is because I couldn't research with the computer in the shop. So thank you, Rupert, for bringing the topic.
I, Tyler, study like a guy who chain smokes and yells. John
was last week.
John has nothing.
I have nothing.
Okay, and Rupert.
And who has a huge computer bill, but it'll fix everything for all of us. It's going to be great.
Please. We were counting on you to become financially independent and support us.
Please subscribe and leave good ratings, because we do need that computer paid off. It's free, and it helps us, and we need a lot of help here.
I'm going to write off a portion of that computer. It's not for us, for my business, because Go ahead.
That's
bold.
Yeah, everybody tunes into this show for the latest in our tax prep advice. That's what they're here for.
I'm not even going to go there.
To interact, to acquiesce to us, we are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com, as well as easily found on Facebook and Twitter, where, if you find us, you get weekly hints. Say hi. Take guesses. If you would like to get extra content.
The emotion is just off.
And help with the cost of the big shoe, you can subscribe at patreon.com/ruinedheroes and get involved with the internet community starting at $1 a month. Special thank you this week to our man from down under, Aaron, again.
Aaron got like 3 minutes of talk time last week because we got off on international
shipping. Who joined Patreon this week. He is a consistent guesser on our hints.
Kills
and
it.
Sometimes guesses correctly. I think more than anybody else, he guesses correctly.
Well, there's the Buzzkill family.
Oh, yeah.
Team Buzzkill. But they're like a team of superheroes. I think they have capes.
So they're using capes
and masks.
Yeah, there's a couple others that hit it pretty frequently, but those two are like, I don't know how they do it. Actually, I do know.
Okay,
so
I have no more use.
They reverse image search my hints is part of it.
I think that's what they do.
It is. They've told me.
It's
not really cheating.
Well, you should like relabel your images. You haven't figured that out?
Oh, I do relabel them because I generally like rip them from the internet and they're labeled JPEG 914867-Q.
Oh, so they're doing the picture search thing.
Yeah, they take and drop an image search and figure out who the person is or the picture is, what the picture is. But anyway, should I have this open for any further information should you need it or want it?
Well, if you want to do John's part on the computer research, since John does not.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do what I do, and I'll just sit here and I'll pull a Rupert!
I cannot in the slightest do what you do. That's why I have you do it. I can barely do it for research, dude.
All right, so I've got my write-up here. This is the first time I think I've actually written out my hints.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah,
he uses the good paper.
It looks like a tome.
So
he uses nice paper.
I will warn you as a prologue to this, I could not. I thought I would do hints spontaneously as I usually do, and then I realized, like, I can't think of any hints for this topic that don't give it away right away. So what I am going to do is give hints by assuming my multi-armed Facebook taunt mode, in which I will only argue by limerick. I find it aggravates the fuck out of people.
I'm already aggravated.
Even worse.
Oh, Jesus.
The first clue.
I gotta get that new computer here.
The first clue is actually not a clue. It is the warning clue. So the first limerick has nothing to do with the topic. It is strictly a warning about the three following limericks.
Oh, for fuck's sake. This is already a bad touch.
Yeah, we're signed up for Dr. Seuss hour and shit. And it's the dirty Dr. Seuss. It's not, not like...
Hey, man, I had to pull off the save here. I'm going to get some entertainment value out of it.
Clearly. Oh, fuck.
All right, you ready? This is the warning limerick.
I'm as ready as I'm going to be. John's got himself geared up. He's got all his PPE on.
Okay.
That's going to be bad touch, man. Right,
here we go.
Bad touch.
These clues might prove offensive, so please don't get all defensive. The subject at hand is quite in demand. If remedy is needed, then strongly as pleaded, maybe just sit and be pensive.
Masturbation.
That's the warning.
I feel called out.
This is this
I feel
whole
called
thing.
Out.
Okay, here is the first.
And I'm already getting defensive.
Here is the first intro limerick. This actually has something to do with the topic. It came with the Great Migration, which changed the face of a nation. The covenant said where you laid your head was determined from the point of creation.
Manifest destiny.
Jim Crow laws.
No, sort of.
Who?
Segregation.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
What he said. Oh.
There once was a man who was brown.
Oh no, this is...
Who decided to move into town.
This is going really badly.
But with so much baggage, there was no mortgage, and oddly, he was always turned down. That's the giveaway.
Oh. With so much baggage, there was no mortgage, and oddly, he was always turned down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not the carpetbaggers.
Fuck, I don't even. Like, I'm just all a
take
whirl
a stab at
her.
Take
a stab. Lynching.
Nah.
I keep going back to segregation, but he already said no on that one. And Jim Crow was apparently closer.
You're having to guess pretty closely.
Vagrancy?
Because this no. Okay, you want the last limerick?
Not really, but I'll listen to it. Especially with the bad fucking rabbit hole they're going down, man.
A new road could often exist. A new road could often assist to make a border exist. Initially improbable, it now seems quite logical. That turnpike is quite clearly racist.
All right, well, you and I had a little phone chat the other night. Was I on the right track that night? Was that last night? Yeah, I think it was last night. So it's not the prison system or the inequalities in the prison system or something like that?
No.
Because you don't want to hear this bell ring all day for me, right?
No. I will say, okay, so you give up?
John, you got anything, man?
Nothing that I've not, I've got so many, I've got too many ideas that I know are wrong.
You may be wrong, but you may be right. Who knows?
Okay, so...
All right. Give it to us.
The topic is redlining.
Redlining.
Because it's always Black History Month with Rupert Hughes hosting the show. The post last night was made simply to confuse you. That was the only reason for that post.
Fuck you. You and you followed up with
so
text
mean.
Message misleading.
It was, yeah,
dude, you
it
was totally
so
gaslit
mean.
Me.
Yeah, it was so
you
mean.
This is an abusive relationship, you bastard. John Mayer, the Jaeger, this motherfucker.
Because I was just
be
like,
careful.
I need you. Need something to throw him further off the trail. I was like, let's make this weird Facebook post,
oh
and he will associate it with. Yeah,
I totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
You fucking evil mastermind.
Okay, so the reason why I dug into this topic was I was sitting around making my perverted wares for sale, And I don't know why. It just popped in my head. I was like, where did that term redlining come from? I have a feeling it's a very specific thing. And I'm just really thinking it's more the bank took a red principal's pencil and drew around your term paper and said no. So I researched the history on it, and I was actually quite surprised with some of this. It was educational. So we start in the year is 1877. Don't read.
I'm just catching up.
The year is 1877. Republican Rutherford B. Hayes assumes the presidency.
I always love that name. I know. Sounds like a circus clown.
Following one of the most contentious elections ever. His opponent, Samuel J. Tilden.
Pardon my poor history, but who did he run against?
I'm getting to that.
Oh.
His opponent, okay. I literally just said it. His opponent, Samuel J. Tilden, had won the popular vote, but neither candidate had won sufficient electoral votes, as 20 Southern state electoral votes were disputed.
So, like, every election we've had in the last two decades.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's a business. Now it's a business. Back then, it was something notable.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds very familiar.
Hayes wins the contested votes by promising to withdraw federal troops from the South. And the way he does this is because Democrats controlled the House. So we got a contested election. Now it's decided in the House. Rutherford B. Hayes says, I'm going to withdraw the last of the federal troops from the South because now we're into Reconstruction period.
So this, you said it was 1877?
Yeah. And so Democrats said, okay, fine, we're going to decide for you.
And that's what our government does.
Yeah, so let's make a deal.
Yeah.
The problem with all of that was Republican governments in South Carolina, Louisiana, and Florida, which were the only states where federal troops remained.
Frankly, federal troops should still remain in Florida.
Were in jeopardy because so many black and white Republicans had left the South. This brings a closing of Reconstruction. You know, a lot of people say Reconstruction officially ends with the Plessy versus Ferguson case, which decided separate but equal was okay with the Pullman cars. But another people also say that this election brings a close of Reconstruction because black people moved northward because we've got this shady deal going on with the House deciding.
Well, you know, and not to mention they kind of want to get away from the element that they were hanging out in.
Well, because like having federal troops in the South was the only thing that was assuring fair elections, and that was the only way you got black congressmen during Reconstruction.
Even then, it wasn't a great system. It was there was a concentration, they could control shit.
Yeah, because you had so many blacks in the South that they could elect black, and we had like, you know, a dozen or more black congressmen.
Which you did during the Reconstruction.
Yeah, yeah, so which we call a see previous episode. 1913, our old buddy, this guy, this fucktard.
Uh-oh, which buddy is this?
Woody Wilson is elected. And immediately mandates...
Another great clown name.
Yeah.
Or Lazarus Long's real name.
Why this...
Woodrow Wilson Smith.
I had forgotten that.
Why this guy has like
back to my Heinlein.
Woodrow Wilson School of Government still ongoing? It's like, I don't know. What do we have? Like the Hitler Department of Road Construction in Germany? I don't think so. Why we have the Woodrow Wilson School of Government still existing here is beyond me. But take down a statue of Jefferson, please. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. I don't know why this guy, like, he was just awful. So he gets elected.
I just love the way he says awful.
And mandates segregation in government, workplaces, cafeterias, the whole nine yards. He just got, everything's going along. We're getting over this. And he's just like, hey, let's get some segregation going here. And I'm just like,
you know what the best thing about this? Let me see here. Stuff is actually starting to work out a little bit okay. I know.
Let's fuck it up.
Let's yes. be in the soup. God, this is going to be a great plan. Let's go ahead and fuck up everything.
Total asshole.
This is classic America, dude. Seriously?
We
this is what we do all the time.
But, like, by 1913, like, the Civil War is over for, like, you know, whatever, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And this guy's just like, hey, let's go refight this thing.
Well, he was
what the fuck are you thinking?
To quote the Beastie Boys, if it's going to be that kind of party, somebody's going to stick their dick in the mashed potatoes. And that's what happened. Right?
So what happens is areas with smaller black populations simply use terror as a means of running blacks out of town.
Right. Uh-huh. The lynch mob, the cross burnings, all that bullshit that see previous episodes.
Areas with larger populations, larger black populations, needed a different way because, you know, you got so many black guys there that you can't, you know.
It's not feasible to actually, to a population of any size, unless you have armed, organized guards. But moving them, it's not going to work.
It's not,
yeah, I mean, look at Russia and Ukraine right now. Yeah.
Only so many crosses
you
can burn.
When you have barely functional tanks, they're going to chase you back out.
So the cities start, you know, well, let's try and deal with this legally. So Baltimore becomes the first city.
I don't think there's anything legal
to enact. No, these were totally legal then. Baltimore becomes the first city to enact racial exclusion zones in housing. Other major cities follow suit.
Much like the entire state of Oregon.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We were one of those thinly settled districts then. I think back then just a burning cross was good enough. I don't know. We did have laws.
There was legislation. There was some real bullshit legislation.
You know, other major cities follow suit. Next thing you know, Atlanta, Dallas, Charleston, New Orleans, Louisville, they all do the same thing. Let's have racial exclusion zones. So
meaning that only white folk can live in this area.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's important. It's a very key factor here to note that the government is enacting.
Do you want the projects? Because this is how you get the projects.
No, that's like a tacit agreement. This is passing a law saying blacks can't live here, you know, blah, blah, blah.
The projects come so from the poverty cycle.
They're doing it
heavily too.
This doesn't help with that.
True. This segregation part does doing a poverty cycle area where there's
ain't no projects back then. So they're doing, but the key takeaway here is they're doing it legislatively, and that's really important to understand in the saga of this sorry Limerick prefaced tale. So in 1917, in Buchanan v. Worley, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Louisville's racial zoning law unconstitutional. See the 14th Amendment.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're just like, you can't be doing this. The 14th Amendment says everybody...
it's fucking racist, we're all equal now.
Well, no, the 14th Amendment just says if you're born in the state, you're a full citizen, and everybody has equal rights, so you can't be deprecating these people's rights by saying where you can and can't live. You can't be doing that. So,
if you can afford it, you can do it.
That's what gated communities are.
Cities then start playing games with the Buchanan v. Worley decision. Atlanta adopts a law designating R1 white and R2 colored districts. Atlanta.
That's what they call them, R1 and R2?
Yeah, white and colored. That's what they called them. Oh, please, what? They're not going to do white and African American.
I understand.
You're lucky that's the only name that they were. Well, that wasn't the only name that they were using.
Probably not.
The,
he might have softened those words, yeah.
No, I'm not going to soften them because, first of all, the distinction colored is very important because this was not just. I mean.
It was white and everybody else.
Yes. That's really what it was.
Yes.
You know. Atlanta adopts this law. Atlanta defends this in court, arguing that it was okay because it designated whole areas not based on previous majority-raced districts.
Read that again, please. Not based on what?
Okay. So Atlanta defends this in court, arguing that it was okay because it was designating whole areas that were not based on previous majority-race characteristics. So, in other words, Atlanta claims we're designating these at random rather than saying only white people seem to live here, so only white people can live here.
I have a hard time envisioning Atlanta sitting there with a D20 going, 16, that quadrant right there. 14, that quadrant. I have a really hard time seeing them at randoming.
But that's, that's the tenor of all of this stuff that follows. Is like we've got this
because we're randomly assigning
trying to thread the needle here, trying to make it okay.
Yeah, since because we're doing these at random. It is just it's completely okay. And if they don't like it, they can move out of that area.
And, that's like a subtle way where, you know, Whitey tries to get over. So the Georgia Supreme Court throws out the law. They don't take it any further. But this is an example of how crazily a little zigzag path they tried to weave through the driving cones on the driver's test to get past this Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, but it's on black ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are doing some serious zigging and zagging to get around the you said it was the Supreme Court that said you can't fucking do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, to get around
they're trying to get around the 14th Amendment. Indianapolis passes a law allowing blacks to move to a white area only if a majority of white residents give their written consent.
Well, that's not going to happen there.
Gee, you think? You think?
That is some serious.
That's some serious crazy. That's some serious crazy. But
you could be part of this club as long because we're not the Little Rascals. We're the women hating boys club. You can be part of this club as long as all the guys agree.
Yeah.
And we're now Alfalfa, the one dude trying to convince Darla. You know, everybody let Darla in, right? So what's going on.
So what prevents a bunch of white dudes from just going in and saying, hey, we like that area because it's got really good fishing, and buying up a whole bunch of houses there, not living in them, but now because they have the majority of them, can they now evict all the black people?
This sounds exactly like a potential big
issue. It sounds like gentrification to me.
It does. It does.
It gets crazier. Virginia, Virginia in 1924 passes a law banning interracial marriage. No, okay. All right. Richmond.
Those always make me fucking angry.
Then passed a law banning anyone from living on a street where it was illegal for them to marry the majority of residents on the street. You sly dogs.
Whoa, wait a minute.
That's crazy shit.
This works both directions. So, like, a white guy can't move into Harlem.
Right.
And somebody from Harlem can't move into, I don't know, Greenwich, right?
Yeah.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
This is...
See how crazy these laws get trying to get around all right,
this is where we've got White Street and Black Street and Charlie Street and so, like, that's where they all live. And is this the establishment of, like, Chinatown and things like that, too?
Yeah,
because, like,
of.
Every big city got a Chinatown.
Kind of. They're colored.
Fucking A.
And as we're going to see...
Little did you know that you've turned yourself into a dollop right now.
As we'll see, this shit gets crazy. Well, it's already crazy, but...
Yes, it is. It's fucking wackadoodle, yo.
So by the 1920s, these legal measures get to be too much because none of them are standing up to Fourth Amendment challenges. And also because it gets really hard.
Fourth or 14th?
14th Amendment challenges.
Okay, thank you.
It also gets really hard to actually define and verify the race of anyone. Because once they get into this, they start having to define the race of somebody.
And this is where Italians become colored folks?
Yeah. Yeah. And you get into that whole, like, well, if one parent's black, you're black. Well, if one grandparent is black, you're black. Yeah. Great-grandparent, and that's how you get into that whole thing with the octoroons, where it's like, that's great-grandparents.
Yeah.
If you have a because that makes eight. Yeah, I think that's how you get into that. And it's like, it gets
if
ridiculous.
If you're 1/8 black, you're black.
Right.
Yeah, and you get into those terms. All right, so, eventually, these legal measures don't stand up. Defining a race of anybody gets to be more and more complex, even though a lot of cities actually switched to this policy of any resident had to come in and register their race. They actually
check this box on your tax form where you're.
It was a whole separate thing. It was just like you have to
or Hispanic or African American or whatever words they're using on those right now. Yeah,
It sounds an awful lot like we need you to register. It sounds a lot like late 30s.
Sounds like let's pin a fucking six-pointed star on your arm.
It sounds a whole lot like, you know, let's go ahead and revisit Germany in 1930.
Or we might have a draft soon.
Yeah, there's that.
Fuck. Oh, fuck. Fuck the draft, by the way.
So,
it would have something to happen during my life.
Because all of these legal means start to get too cumbersome, racial zoning moves to the private sector. And they do this through covenants. So
you've got, what do they call them? Snob neighborhoods.
So it's kind of like a homeowners
like an
association.
Yeah, an HOA.
It's sort of like an HOA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a homeowner would buy a property with texts stipulating they cannot sell to the races listed in the covenant.
Yeah, these are a whole lot of CCRs.
Yeah.
And so I may be jumping forward here, but who defines what race? Like, is it the seller's responsibility? Well, is it the realtor's responsibility?
This is why you have
who
to
defines
register.
Again, it gets really hard because how black is black? You know?
Christ.
I mean, if you go to the property showing playing, you know, Public Enemy, I guess you're black. I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know.
You didn't find information on who's had to make that decision?
I think that we came up with we could be wrong here, but it was 1/8.
We probably are.
So if great no, if just, grandmother or grandfather or whatever.
The thing of it is, these covenants range from the general to the very specific. One state that actually has very good records on this is Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah. They
sorry
actually
to anybody in Minnesota, but you know.
Have very good records on this and have actually done a lot of work in investigating the past of this. So, you know, if you're into like researching this further, Minnesota, you see the racial segregation law, you know. That's the place
to
go.
Do you use a Minnesota.gov kind of thing as a
No, there's reference. Just like a lot of people who studied it there. Hmm. For reasons we will see shortly. So a few of them I pulled up. A 1938 Minneapolis covenant just simply read, cannot sell to any colored person. That's it.
Wow.
Okay.
Which, as we've established, includes Italians, which are kind of white.
That's
Spaniards.
That's in Minneapolis, like Mary Tyler Moore, you know, Prince. Kind of crazy. It's just crazy.
Crazy.
So a 1918 Edina, Minnesota covenant reads, shall not any time be conveyed, mortgaged, or leased to any person or persons of Chinese, Japanese, Moorish, Turkish, Negro, Mongolian, or African blood or descent.
I can't with any of that. That is so fucking
I don't know what half these things are.
What year was it?
1918.
All right, so I understand the word usage from 1918.
Yeah.
That whole descent thing.
But like Moorish, you can't be from vaguely Turkey, right? Man.
That's crazy.
And the words don't work well in modern society either, but
Who's gonna know if somebody's Turkish descent?
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody's looking at Erdogan or however the fuck you pronounce his name, but that guy looks like he could be Robert Byrd. You know, I mean, you can't exactly.
Well, and they cast out the entire continent of Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means
they're just white out.
White Africans.
Yeah,
move there technically.
Yeah, see ya, Libyans. You know.
No, I'm talking like South Africa.
Well, right? Yeah, they had South Africa then.
It was colonized by then.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, but weren't they British?
Well, maybe they were under the British crown, so they could come. Maybe that's how it works.
This was still, South Africa was still part of the British Empire.
Yeah, but if you look at.
But they're South, they're Africans, even if they're.
If you look
there's
at
some real conundrums.
If you
in this
look
logic.
At yeah, it doesn't work well. It doesn't
this
work
is where
well.
That whole blood or descent thing comes from.
Yeah. Well, because if you look at like who the fuck's his name? Who's the guy who smoked the pipe that signed the peace accords with Jimmy Carter? president of Egypt. Anwar Sadat.
Yeah.
Oh. Anwar Sadat.
Name I do know, did not know about that part of it.
He was, you know, he looked black, okay? But then you look at Nasser or somebody like that, he looks white.
Yeah.
And they're from Egypt.
And Gaddafi is somewhere in the middle. Gaddafi is in that area.
Yeah, Gaddafi is like, I don't know, Italy or something. Yeah,
you know. He can get past the crater face and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had a skin condition. he a bad dermatologist more than like any...
And a good sunglasses guy.
Yeah, a fucking good... Fuck, that guy covered up a lot of bad shit with those sunglasses,
and his
man.
Costumer? Oh, shit,
oh,
yo.
Oh, my God. Just fine. Prince, again. Prince.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I think
Gaddafi could have worked out in Minneapolis.
Yeah, yeah. So, eventually, weirdly enough, like, Minneapolis becomes the most segregated city in the country.
Shocking. They're trying to.
Isn't that weird?
Still problematic, if I remember correctly.
I don't know. Little old Minneapolis, I feel they're kind of like, yeah. I don't know.
You know.
Well, I think they're taking good fences and make good neighbors just a bit too far.
They still have hiccups. I mean, it's no Detroit, but they still have some pretty serious hiccups in
Minneapolis. Yeah, why don't you walk your happy ass back over 8 Mile?
Only after Bowl of Mom Spaghetti.
Okay.
1926, Supreme Court case, Corrigan v. Buckley.
Is this the same Buckley? Do you know?
No, Buckley is... There's always somebody in Buckley in a Supreme Court case. If you go through Supreme Court cases, there's 20 zillion Buckleys. Everybody's named Buckley in the Supreme Court. You know why?
Is this some nepotism shit or?
No, because to have enough pull to get your case up to the Supreme Court, you got to have a name like Buckley.
Well, it's just the second time you said Buckley in this yeah, particular write-up.
No, he's actually being serious. There are so many Buckleys. What you're also going to find is that the predominant law firms are the ones that actually will get up to the Supreme Court.
Right.
So when you get Buckley, that's why you're going to hear a bunch of them. Buckley is just – they got the pull. They got the juice.
You got the pull to get all the way up to the Supreme Court. Yeah. You're not going to find like, you know –
Well, again, so my question
is – This is a law firm that's been passed through.
So it could be a partner in Buckley, Buckley, and Buckley.
Let's say there's not a lot of Supreme Court cases with Lakeisha in the name.
Again, I'm asking from a place of ignorance, so please don't yell at me. Is it some nepotism kind of shit?
No.
It's just like Buckley, Buckley, and Buckley represents a lot of fucking Supreme Court cases.
Let's say you've got Taft, Buckley, and Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, Buckley could still be dead, but Buckley stays on the name.
Right, because it's the brother or the partnership thing.
It's the name of the firm. Buckley can be dead.
But I understand that.
But right, the firm is
Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch is no longer alive.
All right, so at any rate, Corrigan v. Buckley.
I'm just trying to understand. Help a brother out.
I'm trying to.
Undereducated. Yo. Go ahead.
The topic at hand was there was a racial – I'm not really sure which state this is from, but there was – Corrigan v. Buckley brings up a racial covenant that states you can't sell to blacks for 21 years.
So you have to live
– property, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have to live in your house for 21 years before you can sell it. But now you can sell it to somebody of color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So by example, I could sell my house to somebody of color because I've lived here for 21 years.
No. Actually, that's
crazy.
That's actually an interesting point. So, if the owner of a house, can they rent that house?
Ooh.
And then after 21 years, sell to that renter?
I don't know.
If they're of color?
I don't know. I didn't get into that much.
That's a clever angle. Well, but, I mean, they were zigzagging on the other side. May as well zigzag on this side, right? Like, I'm just going to rent it. But if it's on one of those streets that says you can't have anybody of color, so you may be locked out both ways. I don't know. It's that giant, maybe it's an HOA.
Okay, so the key takeaway from this, though, is not – it's not really about that. The key takeaway from this is this is a covenant, right? Not a law.
Right.
So the case is dismissed because the 14th Amendment does not apply to private agreements. It only applies to state actions.
Okay. Oh, due to our great law writers.
Well,
no, a covenant is just It's like how everybody agrees.
It's agreement in a private area, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a private contract.
But it does carry the weight of being individuals within that covenant. Within that, so...
For whatever that's worth.
Right, yeah. which like he just said, for whatever that's worth, the Supreme Court can go, well...
So, like, in the case of an HOA, they can fine you and seize your house.
Yeah. Sort of. We're going to get into that, because this is a subtlety, because, you know, in some sense... I agree with this decision because you can't – constitutional rights do not attend to private agreements. In other words, I don't have freedom of speech in anybody's house.
Right.
I don't have a Second Amendment right in anybody's house. You know, I don't have religious freedom in anybody's house. I am not entitled to, like, you know, just get down and, like, pray in somebody's house if they object to
it. Yeah, somebody has
the right to. You're entitled, if they demand you do so, to leave.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's their domicile, and they get to make the fucking rules.
So that's the distinction being drawn here.
Yeah.
And even though I don't really like the outcome of it too much, I agree with the reasoning. You know, that
the premise isn't horrible when you present it that way.
Yeah.
From all the other angles I was looking at, I was not a fan.
No, what it is, you know, it goes back to being able to preserve an individual's rights to choose to live by, you know, like, I don't want to live in a house where I have somebody just throwing racial slurs all day long. Get the fuck out. So you can't have that. I don't want somebody coming in and, you know, a bazooka aimed at me all day. You know, get the fuck out.
Okay, so anyway, things move along and we get to the Depression. And who comes up in the Depression? Our good friend, Mr. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Let's make a deal.
We still haven't covered him.
Let's make a deal.
This guy is up there.
So many terms in presidential office that it would be a two-parter, probably.
This guy is up there with Woody Wilson for, like, biggest jackwagon ever. Like...
But God damn, we loved him.
Jesus. Like,
damn, we loved him.
Well, I mean, FDR is when the black vote moves towards the Democrats. Because within something like 6 years, you know, Republicans had gone from 90% of the black vote to Democrats having 90% of the black vote because of FDR's, like, WPA sorts of his works programs. You know, if you're sitting there starving, pretty soon you're going to sign up with the Klan if they got a job for you. You know, and that's sort of what happened with him.
Hunger makes the best medicine.
Yeah.
His putting people to work programs made some beautiful bridges and shit, that many of which are still standing. So there's that.
So he wants greater involvement in the economy to supposedly alleviate the Depression. That didn't really work out. And so in 1934, we get the Federal Housing Administration, otherwise known to most people who borrowed
FHA.
Mm-hmm. Now, since the government is now involved in lending, they want to ensure safety on that investment. Thus, the FHA straight out will not lend on a property that don't have no covenant. You gots to have the racial covenant for FHA to lend on it. I did not know that. That is some
holy
jacked up shit.
So, like, if you don't have, I mean, we keep using HOA, but it's an easy way to understand the covenant, where the covenant comes from. If you don't have an HOA, and you can't become a member of that HOA because they're racially...
You don't get no federal funding.
Separate, you can't get fucking house, you can't get an FDIC loan, you can't... Does the FDIC exist at this point in time?
I guess, but it's irrelevant. Like,
But you can't get... Well, no, it's not entirely irrelevant because
the FDIC just insures bank accounts.
Yeah, that's it. The FDIC just—they
don't have anything to do with home
It secures money. Your money inside of a banking institution.
Okay, so but if you're not part of an HOA, the bank is allowed to disclude you from any loans.
Well,
they have to.
No. They have to. Yeah. The FHA will not guarantee the loan. unless there's racial covenants involved in the property at hand.
You have to have an H. You have
fucked up, huh?
Yeah, it has to have an HOA. It has to have the people. No federal monies.
It doesn't sound like you have the exact wording there, but do you remember research? Oh, you do.
We're getting to it.
I would love to hear the exact wording because, like, I'm interested where the covenant part comes
in. See what you're experiencing now? You're experiencing what most women experience with Rupert in that it only gets better.
That was last night with the text message shit and the
It only gets better.
Right now what I'm going through is experiencing what I do to you. Go ahead. I would love to hear.
So through the Homeowners Loan Coalition, HOLC, another federal program to help with refinancing, the FHA, Federal Housing Administration, develops the FHA Underwriting Handbook. This handbook maps pretty much...
Just the name sounds villainous, I
gotta say. Every urban area in the country. And how do we map these?
Not with Google.
Well...
With these red lines we've been drawing?
Sort of like a terror threat alert or a coronavirus alert. What's color code?
We got green through red?
Well, we're dealing with these colored people. Let's have a color code. Fucked up, huh?
Please tell me it's not white to black spectrum.
No. It's a little
bit. That it's like green to red at least.
Yeah, it's pretty much Roy G. Biv.
So okay, thank you. Because, oh my God, it could have been more racist.
So.
Not. Much more racist, but still more racist.
So there's green, which is the best.
That's white folks, according to them.
Green areas represented in demand, up and coming. So this is the actual wording. Yes. Green areas represented in demand, up and coming neighborhoods where professional men lived. These neighborhoods were explicitly homogenous, lacking a single foreigner or Negro.
Wow.
That's the wording.
1940-ish?
1934. 34. Fuck. Then there's blue, still desirable. These neighborhoods had reached...
I don't think they know the rainbow.
These neighborhoods had reached their peak, but were thought to be stable due to their low risk of infiltration by non-white groups.
Infiltration. Infiltration.
Can you... What the fuck? Let's go invade the West Hills!
A motherfucker moves in next door to you and it's called infiltration.
Well, they got Chinese laundry down the street.
What? This is...
This is crazy. They got some takeout food. I smell barbecue.
Oh my God.
Then we've got yellow.
Well, okay, so that's an interesting question. Can you have the Chinese takeout place down the street? Because it's not a domicile.
This is FHA. This is for housing only.
Oh, fair. Okay. It's not a business loan of any sort or a commercial property.
I'm still pretty sure fortune cookies say future uncertain.
Yeah, don't Google that. You don't want to look at the magic eight ball on this one.
But can you believe the wording of this? This is like... What the fuck? How were you writing this shit down even then? How were you thinking this was okay? I don't know. Yellow was definitely declining. Most yellow areas bordered...
That's because yellow stands for not totally not white.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying?
Yeah.
Well, so we had green, which is good, and blue, and then yellow. But again, they don't understand the rainbow because... But anyhow, really? All right, so yellow is in decline.
Definitely declining. Most yellow areas bordered back black neighborhoods. They were considered risky due to the threat of infiltration of foreign-born Negro or lower-grade populations.
All right, there's that word fucking infiltration again. B, lower grade what?
Lower grade
humans is what they fucking said?
I think they heard too much bass coming out of the speakers. I don't know.
Oh, my good
God. It's like some public enemy. I don't know what's
going on. takes a nation of millions, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They have parties that carry on, but they're down the street a little bit. But I can still hear it.
Would you read that really atrocious part again? The foreign...
They were considered risky due to the threat of infiltration of foreign-born Negro or lower-grade populations. That's what it said.
But that means a native-born Negro could move into that neighborhood using their terminology.
No, foreign-born, comma, Negro, comma, or lower-grade populations.
The Oxford comma fucked us on this one.
Yeah.
Damn it. That is some racist fucking shit.
So fucking racist. You can dig it with a shovel. Then there's red, which was hazardous.
Uh-oh.
Red areas
Wave off.
Were neighborhoods where infiltration had already occurred.
They've already taken over.
I mean, it's been anti-gentrified is what they're saying.
I'm sorry to be laughing at this, but this is so beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Of
again, even then. Like, I'm trying to adjust my mindset for the
even
time.
Then, even anybody then, anybody talking this nuts. Way would have been a low-class jackwagon.
Or had a fucking hood in his closet.
Yeah. So red areas were neighborhoods where infiltration had already
Maybe
occurred.
Even just on his head.
These neighborhoods, almost all of them populated by black residents, were described by the HOLC as having an undesirable population and were totally ineligible for FHA backing. So, because...
Everything in the red neighborhood, they will not loan you any money whatsoever to buy a house from a black man in that neighborhood.
So, a white
person... No, you're not getting a loan to buy a house.
Right.
You could have one white guy living in this black neighborhood. FHA is still not going to loan on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you're buying it from.
Oh, okay.
That's key here.
Whoa. So, you can't buy or sell property in these...
Well, you could buy it for cash
out. Non-white neighborhoods.
You could buy it for cash or with a private
mortgage, lending, yeah.
That kind of thing. You could do that. But the FHA wasn't going to underwrite.
But that's even you can't buy a white dude can't buy a house from a white dude in that black neighborhood.
Yeah,
in that red neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you can't even the white guy the one white guy that's sitting there is like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't get out of here.
But that's
this
that,
how
that's
we get Son of Sam, yo.
That's really key because yeah. Like. Now, if you're in a non-red zone area, you have incentive to keep, you know, NWA out because you start hearing that music and next thing you know, you can't sell your house because you can't get FHA
can get a loan for it.
Yeah. So that's how it sets
so
up.
So now they start passing further, what's the word, the little...
covenants.
Yeah, they pass further covenants where, like, no lowriders, everybody has to wear a belt, all that kind of shit. Is that what they're doing? They're just, like, taking your culture out of it entirely, or what?
That's where, the term, it's like bringing down the neighborhood. You're bringing down the value of our neighborhood.
Right, that's exactly where
that's my job. Have you seen my partially mowed lawn?
Oh, you're black here.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you're the token.
Oh.
You're bringing the soul. And I think our loud voices further help with that.
And a random-ass parking every... Once a week.
The kid's name in South Park, it's not Token, it's Tolkien.
I know. I heard about this. It's awesome. You know what they did? They went so far as to go back and alter, like, all their Wikipedia entries and everything. So it's always been Tolkien.
Tolkien, you racist.
Fucking hilarious.
At any rate, this red designation, that's how we get redlining.
Uh-huh.
Because of this designation.
This is the line that we draw around
the
red area.
Blocks of red swaths and all that. And so that's how we get it. So this was so pernicious that if a black family could afford to buy in a white neighborhood... The FHA would refuse to underwrite mortgages going forward in that entire neighborhood, whether the future buyer was black or white.
So you have, pardon this reference, but I'm going to use it. You have Dr. Cosby from The Cosby Show, not Cosby. Cosby.
Right, yeah.
And he gets to buy a house. And he has the money because he's a fucking doctor.
Yeah, he just buys
to buy a house
outright.
Anywhere he goddamn wants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if that... happens, then the FHA is like, fuck the whole neighborhood.
They're going to fuck the whole neighborhood. So it sets up this antagonistic thing where, like, you know, the guy two blocks away might not give a shit, but now he has incentive to give a shit because his property value just dropped by 50%.
It's like, well, again, you know, it's like having me move into your neighborhood with my don't fucking mow my lawn attitude.
Yeah. And it's like kind of fucked up that the federal government sets this up where it's like you take it beyond like just straight up discrimination, not giving everybody a vested interest in maintaining the discrimination.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up.
Because now what they're doing here, it's like this person may not have any inkling towards racism whatsoever, but they are, however, very interested in protecting all of their assets. And whatever monies they have and that they can pass down through inheritance and stuff like that.
It you ain't going to be able to move.
Yeah, right,
if that black guy moves
it essentially
in,
turns somebody fiscally racist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happens this if, you know, you got a three-
bullshit, so Rupert. Fucked up.
This is some serious bullshit, Rupert.
This is crazy. This even extends to schools. The FHA underwriting manual even stated where children are compelled to attend school where the majority or a goodly number of pupils represent a far lower level of society or an incompatible racial element, the neighborhood under consideration will prove far less stable and desirable than if this condition did not exist.
So first off, let's write this in a way that nobody can read it and make sense of it. But secondly, to the best of my understanding, it says that you can't go to a school because it might devalue that school, hence devaluing the neighborhood.
Well,
is that what I picked up?
No, it's saying like if you got a white school sitting there in a white neighborhood, and that white school starts letting in too many Negroes,
please,
that's
can
going
you use a
to
more modern word, please?
Screw things up. I'm using the language.
I will let you use it.
I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this.
Ring the bell.
So what this is doing here is not only is this like sort of making people who might not have antipathy towards, you know, minorities moving in to buy a house, it's now giving them like, whoa, you're out of the school too. You see what it's doing? It's like this is like
it's creating kind of a defensive circle for these people.
They
weren't fearful or against
antagonism. Yeah. Where sure that might have existed in plenty of people, but even in neutral people,
or even progressive people, they now have
they have
escalated interest.
Incentivized in like
incentivized
you know,
good word.
Going
yes.
back to this loonious.
This is so fucking not okay.
So then the government decides to build housing projects in the cities.
Like I said, you want projects because this is how you get projects.
Jesus Christ. Well, and I think by the page I brought up here, it's called reverse redlining.
Well, they're building projects in both white and black areas.
Well, yeah, because there's poor people in all communities.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't know if anybody realized that yet. But poor folk exist in all the communities.
Well, the thing of it is, after World War II, you got all these dopey housing projects, and the government's kind of getting tired of running them and all that kind of shit. So they're like, "Well, let's move the white people out of these things," and that's how
suburbs.
That's how you start getting suburbs.
Houses made of ticky tacky,
and supposedly like white flight.
Well,
the problem is
what it was called. It's when white people would mass exodus.
I know that's what it was called.
Yeah, so it's okay to be angry. So
I was going on a whole different point that you luckily made me forget as well.
Good.
But it was not that one.
So you got to get the white people out of these projects because, like, you know, we don't want to run all these projects and you can't move the black people along because they can't move anywhere, you know, because of all your other policies.
And remind me what year we are roughly?
This is the end of World War II.
Yeah. Okay.
The government wants to move the whites out, close down the white projects, and get the white people into the suburban homes. Those suburban homes being built by private developers.
Well, and a ton of those were given to ex-military.
Like, well, they made very, very favorable loans.
Right, right. There was, I don't remember what veterans thing it was, but there was something for veterans of World War II
this
to
is,
buy
this
houses.
This is the
but
advent,
it sounds like maybe they had...
Well, this is the advent of the development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Woodside, Queens, which I'm very familiar with, is where we had the first development you guys might have heard of called Levittown.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's such a notable housing development. People clear across the country.
It's ubiquitous,
as yourself have heard of it. Levittown was built in Woodside, Queens with 17,500 mass-produced two-bedroom homes.
18,000 two-bedroom homes.
Yeah.
Just round numbers.
If you've ever been on the Long Island Railroad, Levittown is sort of the first... It's Woodside, Queens.
That's like 40,000 people or more.
It's insanely huge. You drive... You go past that on the Long Island Railroad and you just look at it and you're like, what the... It looks like the beginning
of
that
show. Yeah, it's 18,000 of these... Of mm-hmm. Tyler's houses.
More little massive, houses made of ticky-tacky.
More massive.
Right.
More massive. It's like... As far as
well, this is where we get Woody Guthrie, who wrote that song.
All the same houses, and you drive, you go by it on the LIR.
It's like the opening scene to the scene in Edward Scissorhands, where they're driving past the all the Tim Burton.
But it's like it's like sort of the last stop before you're out of Queens and into Long Island. So it's the furthest reaches of New York City.
Does this eventually birth New Rochelle?
Well, New Rochelle is north. Personal interest. Levittown is east.
Okay.
So the average monthly payment on a two-bedroom house, and this is going to make you cry, Levittown.
Yeah. My mortgage is low, and it's still going to make me cry.
It was $60.
Oh, God. For a mortgage payment?
Oh, yeah, for a mortgage payment. That was less than the $75 average payment for a similar two-bedroom house in the area.
Oh, my God.
The FHA insisted... The FHA, the government agency, insisted that William Levitt not sell houses to blacks, and each deed had to include a prohibition on future sales to blacks.
And this is the federal funding stipulations again.
But this is weird, because like by the time I come around in the 60s, I'd meet people from like Queens or Levittown or something like that. And that was like considered sort of like, the Crocker South of New York City. If anybody came from there, you assume that they're racist because they were living in a racist development or one with a quite racist history.
And it didn't work the other way? I mean, like Greenwich Village being predominantly white?
No, it didn't, because they didn't have racial covenants there. You know, they didn't have any of that shit.
It's fucking weird, too.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's fucking weird,
too. It's weird, because, like... So,
the fact that it didn't work in reverse is strange.
So the people living in Levittown were lower class,
right,
than the people living in Manhattan.
Right.
But they were assumed to be, like, kind of racist because they're living in a racist housing development.
Even though... which is... And, you know, the sad thing about it is maybe this is just a place that they could afford to live.
Exactly. That's the point we're at.
Yeah, and if this is the place that you can afford, but now you have to deal with everybody else judging you for living in a place that has social restrictions.
You know, I mean, that's the way it works. You know, sometimes when you got diarrhea, the shit splashes back.
It's like looking at the people next door with the two Audis that live next door to me and judging them on the fact.
Probably had to lower the price of that fucking house three times.
Oh, dude, I'm certain. Well, not to mention, again, it's haunted. But
and admittedly, like I slant this a little bit because I have this real. I admit I do have a chip on my shoulder that like there was this attitude in the Northeast of the United States that segregation and racism only existed in the South. I have a real resentment towards that, so I did focus a little bit more on the Northeast stuff. But of the 300 large subdivisions built around New York City and Queens, Nassau, and Westchester counties between 1935 and 1947, 83% of them had racially restrictive deeds.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit. So, like, 300 moves us well into Jersey and Pennsylvania and shit, right?
No.
This is four counties.
No, we're in the...
That's just still in New York alone?
Yeah, this is just four counties in New York.
New York City. Well, basically New York City.
83%.
had racial covenants.
And this is over a 12-year period.
Yeah.
They built all of these houses in 12 years, and 83% of them.
This sounds like a giant, like, hey, free person, come north. Now we're going to fucking screw you.
Yeah, pretty
situation.
Much. Pretty much. Yeah.
Because welcome north, but there's no 40 acres and mule here. There's no nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fucking driving back south.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Oh, my God.
So, now that we understand what redlining is and how it applies to, like, a neighborhood and all of these kinds of things, and, you know, we got there through this roundabout method that became very hard to define somebody's race. Well, what's next on the shit show platter?
What's next on the docket, brother?
Well, if we're going to redline, how do we define what constitutes a neighborhood where we can institute these racially fucked up lending practices?
If this ends
how do we define
if this ends in gerrymandering, I may punch you.
It actually ends in worse, so
I may punch you.
I think you might have.
I'll punch you in love.
You might have moved up. You might have moved up to the red zone of the punching scale.
Fuck.
So, how do we define a neighborhood? Well, a neighborhood was seen as a contiguous area, not separated by a geographical feature or boundary or structure. Hmm.
So, wait. I mean, like. Don't get me wrong, but by nature, a neighborhood is defined by a boundary.
Right, but the,
could
but
just be me.
But the,
like, isn't
that no. Yeah, and this boundary is not—it's not being delineated by a lake, a pond. It's, none of that is. That doesn't specify it. It does.
Well, and even in modern terms, today, not even a zip code. Because literally across that street is a different zip code.
Yeah.
But it's all the same neighborhood.
If you've got...
Well,
is it? Well, is it?
Is it?
I live on this side, so this the pole side of the neighborhood.
Well, but that's... If after doing a census, and it seems that there's, say, 50,000 white people over here, and 50,000... white people here, but there's also 20,000 other people of other race here.
Okay, so we're trying to decide what constitutes a neighborhood, and we got these, you know, geographical features, boundary, and structure. So the problem with that is if you have a red zoned area, and then you got a big field next to it, there's no incentive to develop that field. Because you're going to be included.
It could be absorbed by the red zone area.
It could be a part of the red zone area.
But what if you make, like, you know, fancy-ass condominiums or something?
No, this is where big-ass fences come in.
Well, one good way of solving this problem would be to use eminent domain, seize a little bit of the area from the red zoned area, and build a road or a highway. Like a weird-ass exit ramp.
That's what that asshole did with the goddamn fence across the alleyway. He just, like, eminent domained that shit.
So you got a big field located next to a red-zoned area. If you just run a railroad track or an exit ramp or something like that through it, that establishes something that's a boundary where you can start calling that empty field... a separate neighborhood.
And a brand new green lit zone.
And that's how we get racist roads.
And this is why
that's how roads
interchanges
are racist.
Right in the middle of fucking Oakland or whatever.
Yeah. That's how we get racist roads. So this was another aspect of it to me where I was like, racist roads
are kind of... America's really good at some things.
It's like, wow, man, that was like pretty inventive, but like... Pretty fucked up, but like...
Very fucked up, but like...
I don't think we're taking out a bunch of exit ramps.
That may have been a day when committees actually worked as a, like, brainstorming atmosphere.
Which isn't
what it is nowadays.
If only they could have used their powers
for
goodness instead of evilness.
Yeah, let's be fucking racist buttholes.
So that's how we get racist roads, which
I have
there
changed,
are clearly racist roads.
I have changed my opinion on. I now think that this is actually a reasonable argument that that is
what?
A racist road.
Oh, okay.
but you know, I don't know what the resolution of is. You know, I don't know. I we can't be paying because you know, when they built those racist roads, those guys weren't getting paid a lot. Now those guys make as much as a doctor. We're not paying them to take out the fucking exit ramp. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. Yet somehow in this town, we rebuild the two worst fucking exit ramps every couple of years.
Oh, that's Oregon.
We're really good at it in this town.
Every time they meet and they start doing roads projects, you know that Pape is just sitting
fucking,
there chomping at the bit going, oh, I'm going to get them this time. No,
they're not only the construction company, but they're also the equipment selling company. So they make it on all edges, and it's so good. But like, yeah, let's fucking redesign the Delta interchange yet again.
Well, they're the major construction company because of another racist law called prevailing wage law, which that's a racist law. That's where it came from. All right. Moving along.
Jesus Christ.
Moving along. We're going to get to some more Supreme Court cases, and I know all the
are they are from Buckley and Buckley and Buckley?
And Buckley.
Perfect.
I cite the Supreme Court cases because, like, the women who listen to this cannot see my erotically bald visage, and they seem to swoon a little bit when I get into the legalese. So that's why I'm going there. 1948, Shelley v. Kramer.
Of Kramer versus Kramer.
And Mary Shelley, Frankenstein. Frankenstein sued Dustin Hoffman. Next thing you know, we got a Supreme Court decision.
I was thinking more of the poet Shelley, thing? But yeah, go ahead.
The Supreme Court decides that, okay, so this is really, really interesting. The Supreme Court decides that even though racial covenants are not subject to the 14th Amendment, why?
14th Amendment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are racial covenants not subject to the 14th Amendment? Do we remember? Put our thinking caps on.
Because they're privately established.
Right.
Fuck yes. One in a row, Tyler.
But judicial enforcement of the covenant does require state action. Why, they've lurched into the obvious. Holy crap.
This is how I homo HOAs. They confine your ass and seize your house.
Jesus. It's like pulling teeth with these bastards.
So, just to paraphrase, make sure I understand why I'm laughing so hard.
This is so dumb.
What they said is they can't enforce that shit because it's privately enacted. But because they have to enforce that shit, it's now government responsibility.
Right.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand why I'm laughing so hard. This is
most
circular logic I've heard in a long fucking time.
But
they still haven't skirted racism.
Whoa. In some,
they get to have their cake and eat it, too.
In some sense. Fair. No, but think about it. Like, in some sense, this does follow a logical path. So, let's say I'm
some
in
some sense.
It does.
I'm just trying to, like, impart reasoning where maybe, you know. But, like, if I'm in your house, I have no 14th Amendment right, especially if you're, like, you post a sign that says, you cannot talk about Yes, Fragile album in this house. That
no
album
soliciting.
Sucks. And so if I come into your house and I start saying Roundabout is the greatest rock song,
get the,
like,
fuck out.
Get the fuck out. Okay.
Because you are kind of wrong.
That's one thing.
Although I do like
that's
that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you can't, the police can't. Will not enforce that. If you call the police and they show up, they're going to be like, no,
and you go, dude, my buddy said he likes Roundabout very best, and he won't fucking leave.
Yeah.
The police are like, dude, you're fucking
we can't enforce that. That's not against the law.
Private domicile.
But these covenants are asking the state to enforce them, you know, because the only way you could enforce this, like somebody selling to a black family, is to sue them, and so now you're doing state action. So
yeah, well, but here... Okay, at first they're
they can't enforce anything in a criminal manner, but they have to enforce it under a civil one.
No.
Or
no,
exactly
no, no.
the opposite.
No, you can't enforce it under a civil action.
There you go.
Because now
okay.
you're using
so
state
the,
court, state
so
involvement.
So it would have... But this is all civil stuff.
Right, but...
Yeah.
For...
But it isn't because of the FHA restrictions that mandate the covenants. But they can't be... But because the covenants...
All of the covenants were civil matters.
Right, but the FHA loans, that's federal stuff. That's governmental stuff. But none of the covenants can be enforced because they're civil.
Well, because they require eventually police to show up with guns and say, you owe us money.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the way civil action works. Mm-hmm. You don't get jailed, but eventually you keep putting it off. Next thing you know, the marshals or the cops, somebody shows up with guns and says, pay us this money or we'll kill you. And that's, you know. So the thing that's interesting, though, is even though this happens, Shelley v. Kramer happens in 1948, covenants continue to be written even though they can't be enforced to send a message. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're just like, hey, man, here's the thing, sign
here's
it.
Some rules.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, they can't enforce this. Well, but it
well,
still
yeah, but
sends
we'll,
a message.
We'll get, you know, Susan or Jane or whomever on your
still
ass
sends
to
a
bit
message.
You out of it.
But,
yeah.
But they have to. If they have to, they have to continue to have people sign these covenants so that other housing stuff can still
right.
be built.
Yeah.
Because if they have one outlier that refuses to sign the covenant, that means that entire neighborhood can go downhill.
So, but yeah.
Because remember, this is we still have that. If
well,
if one person,
preferably,
if they
downhill.
Still have that law under where there's one person of color that
it's,
just
it's
fucked
a,
the whole neighborhood
message.
And nothing else can happen.
It's sort of like, you know, you show up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's like, no, we're just setting up the cross. We haven't lit it yet. And you know, I like that. You know, it's like you're sending a message. So that's 1948, Shelley v. Kramer. 20 years later. April 4, 1968. It's not just a YouTube song. MLK gets shot. 1964 Civil Rights Act passes. Or no, the 1960. So 68 Martin Luther King gets shot. April 4th. The 1964 Civil Rights Act, which had been passed because of MLK's, you know, stuff,
actions. Yeah.
Specifically lined out anything to do with housing matters. And Congress had dragged his feet on this. So even though we had the Civil Rights Act because of Martin Luther King's actions, it didn't cover housing.
Because they want to rewrite whatever's going through frequently, and they do take an excruciatingly long time to do so.
So April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King gets assassinated 1 week after the assassination, federal troops guard Congress while they pass the Fair Housing Act, April 11th.
Like stand outside the building.
Yeah, lifting arms. I'm thinking they probably had poobah vermin-free
like we do nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's like when
some guy on the other side with a lacrosse stick and some tear gas.
It's like when Nancy Pelosi says the January 6th committee, you know.
Yeah, they were chaining themselves to trees.
Yeah.
Put spikes in them fuckers.
So a week after the MLK assassination, Congress passes the Fair Housing Act after dragging their feet fucking forever. LBJ signs the law the same day.
So do you have some wording from the Fair Housing Act?
I think it says just undo this shit.
The Fair Housing Act is like just a signed bottle of whiteout. Is that where we're going?
There's a whole pool of secretaries sitting there with typewriters going, X, 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 X,
here's a ream of paper
X, X, X.
And a fucking bottle of whiteout. Go for it.
So interestingly, the legacy lives on a little bit because, you know, this is still a little bit weak because, you know, we went from having legislation that said you couldn't sell to blacks. Then we went to this sort of like subterranean covenant thing where it said you couldn't sell to blacks. Then it kind of moved on to like, I'm not going to say it. You're not going to say it. Who are you selling to? Not them. You know. So June 25th, 2015. Supreme Court.
Did you skip 74?
This shit goes on.
Oh, here's the 2015.
Oh, I told you it was going to
get... Yeah, there's a bunch of circle jerks in the way between where you were and where you are.
I told you it was going to get hot in here. You don't want no more limericks.
I'll take off all my clothes.
You want more limericks?
No.
I'll take off all my clothes.
No. No.
June 25th. You leave
your clothes on. You're a no on both of those.
We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time, okay? We don't have to take the clothes off to have a good time.
June 25th, 2015, which is what, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court decides Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs v. Inclusive Communities Project. A commie name if I ever heard one. In that decision, this is very important because it's very odd. In that decision, the court held that discrimination could be proven by citing the effect of specific housing policies without having to show intent.
But these are only upheld in, like, Florida, Texas, the panhandle of Idaho.
No, the Supreme Court is pretty much the entire United States. Well, maybe not.
I was just being hopeful. Crush my love.
This is kind of interesting because this is my own little personal pet peeve. In terms of discrimination law, you're not having to show intent. You're just having to show effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs v. Inclusive Communities Project. So basically, at this point now, the tables have really turned. Where you don't have to show that this is like these guys were straight up discriminating. You just have to show the effect.
So as long as the result is discriminatory, it is now discriminatory. Whether or not it was discriminatory to begin with, whether or not it was set up.
Wrong word. As long as the result was disparate.
Oh, okay.
It shows discrimination.
So if you set up a study that says X number of people who are non-white living in X area has caused the area to become devalued, then you get your pass? Is it?
Well, no.
I'm again asking from place of ignorance, so, just trying to understand.
Basically, this had an effect in places like New York City, where like New York City is a very expensive. Manhattan is an expensive place to live.
Incredibly expensive.
Incredibly expensive place to live. It's like
one of the most expensive places on the planet.
Yeah.
Like New York, London, Tokyo.
Okay, so there are public housing projects in New York City where everybody knows that public housing project is going to be mostly white people. That public housing project is going to be mostly black people.
And that one's Puerto Ricans, and that one's whatever.
So, but they didn't have anything in there that specifically said, like, no blacks allowed. But like, this decision altered places like New York City and stuff, where it's just like, how come we got this project with all the white people in it? How come this is in a better area?
So,
and that kind of thing.
So this is something I haven't heard you bring up yet, but I found in this little page I found, called reverse redlining. And it apparently occurred when the lender targeted an area. So it's obviously not the FHA.
That's what this is.
But it's a different lender will target that area of minority populations.
That's what this is. That's exactly what that is.
And give loans based on them getting into that minority
that
population.
That's exactly what that is.
Okay, I'm just, I'm trying to catch up and make sure I know what's going on.
But the key thing here is like, this actually affected like a whole bunch of stuff, because not having to show intent is huge in any civil suit. And again, so
I didn't mean for it to come out this way. It just sort of did.
It just sort of did. So
see Depp Heard.
I'm gonna insert my opinion here in something that I think was maybe wrongly decided, because I have a little bit of a problem with this because it results in like. I don't think you should have to, like, find the piece of paper where somebody writes down, like, don't rent to black people. I don't think you should have to go that far. But at the same time, like, or don't hire black people. You got to find that little post-it note. I mean, that's a little bit too far. But at the same time, like, well, we don't have exactly proportional representation here at the GM plant. Oh, they're racist. That's a little too far the other way. In my opinion, and again, I'm just inserting this here, this is a continuation of a case that has bugged me from day one. Griggs v. Duke Power decided in 1971.
Duke Power?
Yeah, Griggs v. Duke Power.
I love it.
Which was a really important case, which established the entire concept of disparate impact. In that case, Griggs was able to show that Duke Power was giving an employment test and black people failed the employment test at a higher rate than their proportional representation in the population.
Which means Griggs, it was a biased test, right?
Well, that's what they were.
That's all Griggs had to show. Griggs did not have to find the memo that said, let's keep blacks from working at the power plant.
They just had to show that it was a biased questionnaire.
It shows bias based upon disparate impact. And it's like, well, I don't know about that.
Right, because, I mean, what ends up happening when you have lesser areas that have a lesser degree of education? So you're now applying for something, and they have this questionnaire that goes through, and you have somebody of color who, because of circumstances, doesn't have the education that's required to be over here.
Yeah.
But the job is going to require a certain level of education.
And it ends
up being disparate because of the lack of education, not because of the potential lack of ability.
They use that as an exclusionary tactic in voting, and still do.
But
where you come from a lesser educated place, and you can't do this stuff, so you can't pass the test to get the voting.
But it's not racist, though. But that is not a racist thing. That is an actual
quote. It's not racist.
It's not, because what it does is this job requires a certain level of education. It's not racist inherently. It is not inherently racist. The job requires a certain level of education. It happens to have the result of being somewhat racist because the lack of education that was there.
Because of the resources that were available to the person.
Exactly. Therefore, there wasn't the intent. There was just an outcome that has disparate flavors to it.
I mean, I think that, like,
and it's,
you know,
fucking,
you know,
it's not an easy discussion.
For me, the disparate impact thing gets a little bit ridiculous because, like, if I advertise a job for a coal miner wanted,
right? You know, I don't expect you to do calculus.
Any fucking person put on a helmet and a harness, right?
Well, coal miner wanted must be willing to work roughly 1 to 2 miles below ground and have a CGE-3 certification or whatever the fuck it is. I'm not going to expect to get an equal number of men and women applying for that job. I think most of the people who go down in a coal mine are probably going to be men missing a lot of teeth. You know,
with a large family to support.
Yeah, something like that. It's like,
chain smoke cigarettes. And,
it could just be me.
Again, stereotypes come from a place.
But, like, right, women who want to be coal miners are a little bit less of the population than men who want to be coal miners.
I have seen an escalation of women on construction sites, which makes me happy.
Gee, wonder why, you know.
Women with Carhartt butts make me happy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, going ahead.
But, you know, it's just like there's some things where the disparate impact thing fails for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it just fails. Like sewer workers who are women, not many. Washers hanging off a scaffold 50 stories in the air. Not, you know, the loony jobs.
Do you know, well, loony jobs, do you know that sewage worker can make $150,000 a year?
Oh, I know that.
Mainly because I know one.
Yeah, oh, I know that. Like I said, these guys make as much as doctors.
It's
you don't want them rerouting
crazy.
The sewage
now,
pipe.
Granted, it took a couple of degrees for them to get there, but one of them did come from a define your own degree college.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but you don't want them doing heart surgery?
No. Well, they're dirty. They've been in the sewage plant all day. There's that.
Do you want a doctor?
Well, I know the most useless person when my toilet clogs is a heart surgeon. That's right? The most useless person.
But if I'm dying on the toilet, I'm going to need a boat.
Yeah.
If I'm dying on the toilet, don't call the heart surgeon. Call the plumber.
If I'm dying on the toilet, I'm going to need my girlfriend. Honey, can you get me some toilet paper? Three rolls.
Just go out like
three
Lucy.
Rolls. Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up and just say, like, gee, I think the redlining thing was bad. I didn't realize that it was... I thought that when I initiated this little project, I thought that redlining was, like, straight up just, like, mostly the Covenant's affair and mostly a private banking thing. I didn't realize that this had really been nailed on the burning cross in the lawn by the federal government. I was surprised. But... again, not surprised because, like, FDR was a fucking big-ass racist. I was stunned at how much the federal government was not only involved in perpetuating this perpetuation of degradation, but I was stunned at how much the federal government seemed to enter into, like, maintaining the aggregation.
Can you do it in a limerick, Mr. Walken?
It's just... it's like
on the fly a limerick, Mr. Walken.
When I looked and found, the aggravation was profound. The government was involved, and the situation devolved into something I thought was totally unsound.
Not a perfect limerick, but hell yes. I give it to you.
Pretty good.
Very well done. Very well done, John.
Yeah, I understood it, kind of like as the birth of HOAs. You know, and the limited access, the limited knowledge that I had to begin with. It's like, okay, the covenant aspect of it. And, you know, do you want HOAs? Because this is how you get HOAs. And nobody wants HOAs, except racist fucks. So I didn't actually take that link. That I'd never had that jump for it before. The implications, they are so far-reaching and so pervasive that's shocking. It is mind-numbing. And... this is a century in, a century and a half?
Yeah, roughly.
When we started?
Roughly.
1877, I think, is when you started
1877 to, 1970, Civil Rights Act.
Till now. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, but up until 2015.
Yeah, we're still implications. Fucking with this shit.
150 years.
It never ends.
Yeah. And, it's like, okay, well, how can you make a law that's going to fuck everything up just a little bit more, but it's supposed to actually undo something? No, because now there's new loopholes. Now there's you got to thread that needle somewhere different, and it doesn't matter. Everything is just still. Everybody's going to continue to fuck it up, and we'll probably be dealing with this shit for another 150 years.
Pay one price, all you can eat.
God love a buffet.
This is the buffet from hell, yeah. Courtesy of the federal government.
Mm-hmm. So, the longest I moved around a lot as a kid, and the longest I ever lived in one place was a townhome community that had an HOA, and there was nary a non-white person in it.
Where?
And this is in Denver in the mm-hmm. 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got it then, partially because I was also involved in another kind of racist practice, which was the inner city busing system. And that took us white kids from the outskirts of town and shipped us into the center of town. And took a bunch of the non-white kids from the center of town, the, lower income atmospheres, out to the edges of town. And I drove past, on the bus to school. I went past three high schools till I got to my high school. Literally drove past, could see, could throw a golf ball into at least the property. And so I kind of picked up on there's this weird divide in the spaces and how we get to live in them and such. Because we were also under an HOA, which, as we've gone on a lot. Another thing I learned, though, however, is that as I got older, I started seeing this racial divide not only in the housing system, but I think this is, I firmly believe this is largely a part of the basis, like the root of gerrymandering and pushing people into places so you can get votes to happen the way you want them to happen and how you redefine lines. And I think the gerrymandering trick has been really taking notes from this crazed, drunken plan that they had of let's separate the races. And it's still going on. And I'm with John. It's probably going to be another minimum of 20 years. 100, 150 years, maybe forever.
Not in our lifetimes is where I'm at.
We're lucky if we have a planet in our lifetimes at this point. So, yeah, I think we're going to live with this kind of bullshit forever.
Pretty much.
But to finish it out, Rupert, not only did you save my shit, cook my bacon by bringing a topic, but you did an excellent job, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I really did.
It's a little bit tendentious going in with the Lemrecs.
Yeah. Can we ring the bell at the end?
We need the gong. This sounds like something that friends do.
Well, I thought we were friends.
I'm extremely uncomfortable with that.
I know. But do you know...